today as we come to the table.
It's not the Lord, and they're mirroring into the demonic realm. And so we need to make sure we have the true light so that we're not being deceived by the false light like many other groups and religions that are out there. And that's what we're going to see John's job was to do. God sent him to show the true light and to make a difference between every other religion, every other so-called spiritual leader. And that's what I love about Jesus and the Bible. You know, if you really believe the Bible and you really follow Jesus the way the scripture says, you cannot accept any other religion. You can't accept any other spiritual leader. It is very, very divisive in that way and very, very singled out in that way, but I like that.
Any believer that completely follows the Word of God will always keep God as the focus of their lives because He moves through His children to use them to spread His name to more people. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. It's important to remember with Bible teachers that it's not the ones that God chooses to move through that are great or worthy. Rather, it's God who will get the glory through these teachers because He's the source of their strength. Pastor Mark reminds you today that being a good steward of the gifts God gives you is to let God use them for His glory. You're simply the vessel, and God wants to work through you to bless those around you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 1, as he begins his message entitled, John, a Witness to the Light.
John chapter 1, as we continue on in John, we're going to be looking today at verses 6 through 13. I want to read the first couple of verses here to kind of lay the foundation, then ask God to really shine His light on us this morning so we can understand His Word, and then get into it in more detail. Notice it says, there was a man, verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now, one of the hardest things I think to learn as a new believer is when you see God use someone in a great way, you tend to think that maybe they're great. I can remember as a young believer seeing people that God used in such amazing ways and think, wow, look at that guy or look at that lady and how God uses them and all this. And yet when you grow in the Lord, you begin to realize all they're doing is reflecting the light they've been given from God. That's all they're doing. And the better we learn to just empty ourselves of ourselves and allow God's light to shine through us, He'll use us the same way as well. The problem is with that is we oftentimes look to the person and give them glory, or if God uses us in some way, you know, we tend to think maybe we had something to do with it. Listen, our job is just to be empty of us and let God shine through us. And I found the longer I go on in ministry, the more I can just get rid of Mark and just get out here and say, God, let your word shine in the hearts of the people. God does a work. And oftentimes I think we get in the way when we try to help him, but we just need to learn to shine a light. John, we're going to see today, was one who God used to truly shine his light. And Jesus is going to say later, he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. And so he allowed God's light to shine through him like no other man. He was just a man, fallen sinner like everyone else, but he totally submitted to God and God used him in great ways to be a witness to the world around him. And the encouragement for us is God will do the same thing in us. If we yield to the Lord, and the amount that we yield to the Lord is the amount that God will use us. Because the bottom line is, He just needs to get us out of the way. And so when we learn to do that, we can shine better. Again, but when we see people shining like this, I think oftentimes we think that it's us. John had people coming to him in his day thinking that he was the one they were to look to, and he would always have to point them to Jesus. He said, I must decrease, and he must increase, and John understood that principle. And it's not to in any way belittle the ministry of John. It's just simply to say that John wasn't the one to be pointed to. Jesus was the one to be pointed to, and he was the light that all mankind needs. And so even as John is that light, we're called to be that light as well. You know, it's interesting, and when you can't see what you're doing, you get into a lot of trouble, don't you? And this is why we need God's light to open our eyes to things of the Spirit. And once we're a believer, just to open our eyes to the things of life. A lot of people think they see clearly, but they don't see clearly. But I'll tell you, when you can't see clearly, you oftentimes make some bad decisions in the dark. Back in the days before electricity, I was reading about this old stingy farmer who was giving his hired help a hard time for carrying a lighted lantern everywhere he went to see, whenever he went to see his girlfriend. He'd fill it up with oil, carry his lantern, and go see his girlfriend. And so they'd have some light when they would sit and meet, you know, and after the work day was done or whatever. And he's giving him a hard time. He said, "You know what? I never carried one of them things when I went courting." He said, "I just always went in the dark." He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's true." He said, "But look what you ended up with." Now, I don't recommend that type of approach when you're talking about someone's wife. But I will say this. Guys, if you don't have light, you don't know what you're going to end up with. And there's a lot of people today who are following false light. And John's going to get into false light. There is a false light. And there are people following a false light, and they're marrying someone that's a lot uglier than they ever thought, to use an analogy. And the bottom line is, it's not the Lord, and they're marrying into the demonic realm. And so we need to make sure we have the true light so that we're not being deceived by the false light like many other groups and religions that are out there. And that's what we're going to see John's job was to do. God sent him to show the true light and to make a difference between every other religion, every other so-called spiritual leader. And that's what I love about Jesus and the Bible. You know, if you really believe the Bible and you really follow Jesus the way the scripture says, you cannot accept any other religion. You can't accept any other spiritual leader. It is very, very divisive in that way. And very, very singled out in that way. But I like that. Because if it was muddied and you didn't really know which was the right direction, what path would you take? Can you imagine if you went to the Smokies and there were like four different trails that were kind of trails, but not really trails? I mean, you can get up in there and no matter how good you are at hiking, you can get lost really fast. And a lot of people have done it. We need clear, wide trails, a clear path to heaven. And Jesus came and said, "I am that path." And John came shining a bright light on that path before he came and said, "This is the one. This is the way. You want to get to heaven? Forget everybody else. Forget everything else and go his way." And that's what we get into today. So if you remember last week, it talked about who Jesus was. We spent a couple of weeks looking at him being the Word and making everything and him being the light of the world. And now John expands on that by talking about the man that God sent to shine the light on Jesus, who was the light, and that's John the Baptist. Notice verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe." Now, again, this is not the John that wrote this particular book. This is John the Baptist. So John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist and telling who he is and how God had specifically prophesied him as the forerunner of the Messiah. Now, it's interesting that God sent a forerunner for a couple of reasons. One is, back in that day, whenever a king would go to visit somewhere, they always sent a forerunner. They sent someone to go before the king to make the path straight. And that would use that terminology. In other words, they would fix all the Roman roads, make sure there weren't any stones missing or any place where the chariots could stumble or whatever, a clear path for the king to come in. And you can see the analogy here. God sent John the Baptist to make a clear path for Jesus when he came so that everybody would be prepared and realize, hey, there's some guy announcing that a king is coming and he's saying he's our Messiah. We better be ready. So that's one reason God did it, to reach them where they were culturally. But also there's another reason, and that is that God knew that if he didn't prophesy in advance the way he would do it, that many would not believe. The sad thing is many still don't believe even though God fulfilled the prophecies. You guys, if you want to know how to be a witness and shine for the Lord like John, prophecy is one of the greatest ways you can do it. Learn prophecy, even basics. Learn 5 or 6 of the basics about Jesus coming to the earth and dying on the cross. Have those in your mind, where they are in Scripture, and have them ready. So when you run across the unbeliever, they're going to say, "Well, I just can't believe by faith this happened." You can say, "Listen, it's not just by faith. That's obviously a part of it. But we have solid evidence. Did you know back in Isaiah? Fill in the blank. Did you know over here in Daniel? Did you know that it prophesied in Psalm that Jesus would be crucified, the Messiah would be crucified on a cross, and they would gamble for his clothing? Did you know they didn't even have crucifixion when that Psalm was written? It didn't exist. And yet it says they'll pierce his hands and his feet. How did the prophet know that? And did they really do it? Absolutely. It says in Isaiah that his face would be marred, you know, from all the beatings. We now know historically that's exactly what happened. How did the prophet know that? It said they would gamble, they would cast lots for his clothing. How did that just happen? So when you begin to share with people things that have been prophesied hundreds and thousands of years in advance, there's really no way they can deny it. They might say, well, I just don't believe it. But when they leave that conversation, trust me, those wheels are turning. And so God now uses prophecy to validate John by letting everyone know, I'm sending a forerunner. Then when John came, that validated that John, and then John validated Jesus so that everyone would be without excuse. And where do we see this? Speaking of John, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And remember, that's where John was, out in the wilderness, living and eating locusts and dressed in sackcloth like the prophets of old. He said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now note this. Make the way straight. He's coming. Not roads that need to be straight. Your heart. Your heart has divots in it. It's got holes. It's got gaps. There are hard places and there are weak places. Get it ready because the Messiah is coming, even as I believe God is getting some of your hearts ready today to receive Jesus. Whether it'll be here in this service or later on down the road, God is preparing your heart. And he sends his messengers in the path to do that. John was that messenger to get everyone's heart ready so when Jesus came, they could receive him. But what's neat to me about this is that not only does he say that this messenger is coming, notice he declares that he's God. Look at the last part of the verse. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And again, another verse declaring the deity of Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting when God gives prophecies or God sends messengers before, it's the messenger that's planting the seed, but it's the person that's giving them the opportunity that oftentimes sees the harvest. And so whenever someone gives their life to the Lord, we had several last week, we had someone last service, there may be some of you today that'll give your life to the Lord. If that happens, it has nothing to do with the pastor. It's not because my message was so compelling and you were lured. No, the Holy Spirit is working in your life. He's shining light on your heart and showing you that he's real and that he loves you and that you need your sin taken away and that he died for you and will receive you. And really, if anyone was to get credit, it's those of you that have been planting seeds in their hearts. The person that gets to share and just sees the person give their life to the Lord, they do nothing but simply say, if you'd like to, let's do it. We had last week a lady give her life to the Lord that somebody in the church had been sharing with for a long time. They said, we've been sharing with her and praying for her. And he was in tears going, I'm so excited that she received the Lord and all this. And it was like, this is such a great thing. And what I told him was, I said, that's fruit that goes to you. Your prayers, your sharing, those tears, all that you did, God honored that. I said, all that happened was that she acknowledged it with us on Sunday morning, but you're the one that led her there. So don't ever think your witness is not having an impact. And that as you shine light, it's not having an impact. It is. Even if you're not the one that gets to lead them to the Lord. And John here, again, a lot of the people that came to believe after John was gone and not through John leading them to the Lord. Yes, John led them there, but John didn't get to actually take them through prayer, so to speak. John just shared what was going on and God got the heart ready and they received. And so notice he stresses here that he's a witness and he's nothing more. Like he says, this man came for a witness, verse 7. To bear witness to the light. So I'm nothing. Remember John said, I must decrease, he must increase. And yet I love this. At the end of the verse, he says, note this, that all through him might believe. Guys, that all through him might believe. How many can believe? All. Listen, I don't want to overstress this and I don't want to understress it. And my heart is not to get into a theological argument. We are brothers in Christ, and different churches that believe different things are brothers in Christ. But I am going to stress this because when I come across it, to me, this is essential. And that is, the Bible says when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't die for just a certain few people or a certain elect. The Bible says he died for all. John will say later on in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's an all-inclusive word that means every single person as well as existence. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Note this, that whosoever, are you a whosoever? That whosoever would believe would have eternal life. There's a ministry out there called the Whosoevers, and I love that. And they're a ministry that reaches out to a lot of the drunks and drug addicts because oftentimes it's the drunks and drug addicts who think, God could never save me. If there's anybody that wasn't predestined to be saved, it's me. And so therefore, there's not even a reason to try. Let me tell you something. God loves you no matter what your background is. And if you are breathing right now, there's room for you in the kingdom of God. There's room for you. Whosoever will come, he will receive, and he'll receive you this morning. And it's all through the scripture. As I said, I don't want to overemphasize it, but I don't want to underemphasize it, because I think for some people, it turns them away. And they think, well, I might not even try, because certainly I'm one of those that God hasn't called. No, God calls all of us, but we have to respond to it. And notice here, he says, he came to bear a witness that, again, that all that would believe in him. Notice, for all who through him who might believe. It's interesting, the word believe here literally means those who welcome him or accept him. And that shows on our part a choice that needs to be made. We have to welcome the Lord in. We have to accept the Lord. He doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't make us be saved. He doesn't push us into the kingdom. He simply gives an invitation. Again, I think of the husband and the wife, or better yet, the fiancé and the fiancée, you know, or the financier, or whatever you want to call the guy, however you want to see it. When he asks her to marry him, this is a mutual thing. Will you marry me? One of the most wonderful things in the world is when she says, yes, but she had a choice to make, didn't she? She wasn't forced to marry him. Aren't you glad, ladies? Because there probably were some guys that asked you to marry you, at least some of you in here, I'm sure that you would just like, no, that's not going to happen, right? But how sad it is when that invitation is given and she says no. What a picture of the rejection of the Lord, you know? In the world, sometimes it's good that there's a no. But it's never good when there's a no with Jesus. He says, I shine my light in your heart. I give you my love. Will you marry me? Will you be mine forever? And then you have a choice to make. And that's what he's saying, that you might believe. It means you might accept him. You might welcome him and say, yes, I will be a part of your home. I will accept you. I will welcome you. It's beautiful. That's exactly what the wording is saying here. Verse 8, he says, he was not that light. That is, John wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Again, driving this home, repeated emphasis that John is not the light, but he is simply the one that's shining that light, because again, getting away from the tendency of people to follow the wrong thing or the wrong person because of how God is using them. You know, it's interesting. Now that John wrote this about John the Baptist, you can see historically why. Even after John died, there were still groups of people that kept following John the Baptist. Did you know that? In the Middle East, they followed John the Baptist, even though John kept saying, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's like, yeah, but John's messages were so powerful. You know, and John was this, and repent, and everything, ooh, you know. And they followed John. He said, I'm just reflecting light to you. It's him that you're supposed to follow. As a matter of fact, would you believe that throughout the centuries, that has carried on, and there are still some today who follow John the Baptist? As a matter of fact, Milad and Trace were sharing with me, some of them are out of Iraq. They still follow John the Baptist. And as we're seeing now, the Muslim community and the other communities, not Muslim in their case, but those that are kind of this aberrant, kind of almost outside of Christianity, whatever they are, coming to America, you may start hearing about some of this. Because they're coming in from Iraq, and there are some of them that still follow John the Baptist. So this is actually very relevant for today. John would say to them, don't follow me. I must decrease, he must increase, and that is exactly what John the Apostle is showing us about John the Baptist. He goes on talking about the Lord. He says, that was the true light. Notice that. Interesting, true light. How can you have false light? He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, this is powerful because John here discriminates between false light and true light. The true light, he says, is Jesus. What then is the false light? Guys, it's interesting. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14 says this, speaking of false teachers. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Notice what he's saying. There are movements out there. And there are spiritual leaders out there that appear to be emanating light, but it's not God's light. It is false light. It is demonic light. There is a spiritual darkness that has light. Now, what kind of dichotomy problem is that? Spiritual darkness that gives light? Absolutely. And so we have to make the distinction. Is this God's light or is this the enemy's false, fake light? You know, it couldn't have been made more clear to me when Tracy and I lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Because when we live there, they have the whole New Age movement. I'm not kidding. Everything there is so bizarre. They have like this, the UFO museum there. They have churches that worship angels. That's what the church is set up to do, is to worship angels. All these things you read about in scripture, that would never happen here because we're in the South and we know the word. It's really going on, even in America. I mean, so understand, we have to know, is that false light? But it's real. Something happened. There's a power there. There is a power there. And it's real. But it's real demonic. It's not God's power. So John is saying, I have come to point to the one that's going to show you the true light, not the false light of all these false religions and false leaders that are out there. And you need to be able to distinguish the difference between who is right and who is wrong. And this is interesting to me because since all true light, notice this, all true light comes from Jesus, and Jesus alone validated the Bible. Jesus didn't validate any other writing. He validated the Bible, and some were around before Jesus. You know, Buddhism, Confucius, they were all before Christ. He said, everybody that came before me were liars, thieves, and robbers. He said, I alone am the gate that can get you in. And he said, anybody that comes after me, he said, if they change this from what I've told you, then it's false. So Jesus himself nullified every other religious movement except what you find in the Bible and through him. And we either believe him or we don't. He said he is the true light. Everything else is false light. Now, if that's the case, what does that mean for New Age spirituality? False. What does it mean for the Quran? It's false. What does it mean for the Hindu writings, the Bhagavad Gita? It's false. What about the Book of Mormon? It's addition to the Bible. False. Interesting. What about Awake publication that the Jehovah's Witnesses leave everywhere? Jesus said they're all false because they add to or take away from the Word of God. And so it's so important we understand the true light as compared to the false. And I just want to mention this briefly. Wherever you go or whatever, don't just assume your pastor is teaching the truth or even knows God, because there are a lot of pastors across America in pulpits who are not teaching the truth and they don't even know God. Now, I'm not going to try to give you a picture that everything I say is accurate. I know better than that, and the Bible tells me that's not. James said this, let there be few teachers, because we make many mistakes. So, but hopefully they're not going to be foundational mistakes, such as Jesus, the only way to heaven, the cross and the blood, the only way to be forgiven of sin. These things have got to be solid. There may be nuances that are off somewhere here and there. And we know that denominations and non-denominations disagree on things, but those are what we call the non-essentials. They're not as important. The essentials, Jesus, the only way to heaven, the cross, his death, blood, sacrifice for sin, no negotiating. And that has to be something we stand on firmly. And again, notice here it says that Jesus gives light, again, to all of men or all of mankind. It's very interesting to me. Note that. He's the one that gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, this is interesting. Think about this for a moment. What it's saying is every single person that's ever been born on this planet, God has given a measure of light to at some point in their life. Everybody. Now, if they're in a place where they don't know the name of Jesus, they're still getting light. They may not know his name. But somehow it says in Romans chapter 1, whether it's the deepest jungle or wherever it is, God is revealing himself. Even through nature, it says, God shows everyone the light and he will hold them accountable. Some way he gives them enough understanding where they have to make a decision as to whether or not they're going to turn to the God of heaven or reject the God of heaven. Every single person on the planet is what it's saying. That means that everyone is without excuse. That means that everyone at some point has their eyes open. Maybe some of you this morning, right now, are having your eyes open and God is shining that light on your heart. That also means that the atheist doesn't really exist. They claim they don't believe. But the Bible says this, I revealed myself to them. They know I exist. They just chose to reject me. And now to make a point of their choosing against God, they call themselves an atheist. But every man has been given light. That's powerful.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus's apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6:00. a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.